Parshas Vaera. The heating will get going. The weather at the moment reminds me Reb Shalom Shadron once went to the United States of America on a fundraising trip, and he got snowed in, completely snowed in, couldn't leave the house. A number of feet of snow. Eventually, after two or three days, it began improving, so he ventured out and he saw across the road a Hasidic Shayid. So he motioned and said, "Oh, a guten Shalom." Didn't respond. And again, Shalom Aleichem, he went. He didn't respond. As he got, made his way over, he saw it was a snowman. A snowman in Hasidic Shagav. So Shalom apparently said, "Ah, a cultist, a cold Jew." So either way, we'll try and not be a cultist. We hope that the Shir tonight will warm up the hearts. Chazal tell us, Rashi actually quotes his Chazal in last week's parasha, in Perek Hei Posik Dalet. Rashi says that we notice that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen seem to enter and exit the palace of Paro at will. What happens? Klal Yisrael were working in the fields. So how was it that Moshe Rabbeinu was able just to enter and exit? So Rashi says, because Shevet Levi were not involved in the Shibud at all. So because Shevet Levi, and obviously Moshe and Aaron HaKohen, are both from Shevet Levi, they were never involved in the Shibud. They were not working, and that's why you find they entered the palace, and they left the palace, and they spoke to Paro, as it seems, whenever they pleased. And in fact, the Chizkuni and the Daaf Kanim quote a Medrash. There's different opinions on how it was that Levi ended up getting a get-out-of-jail card. But the Daaf Kanim interestingly says, because they point-blank refused to work. And they said that we see, and we have a Havtocha, that we are eventually going to be the ones serving in the Beis HaMikdosh, carrying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tools. They said, Cholila, we're not going to carry Paro's tools, that's for sure. And they refused to work, and they were given off. The Ramban suggests differently. The Ramban says that it's the minhag of every nation to give one tribe off. It should be the chachamim of that nation. Some suggest, if you remember in Parshas Vayigash, the Torah has a tremendous arichus all about Yosef's laws that he enacted in Mitzrayim, and they all had to pay tax except the Koyanim. Why is that important to know that the Koyanim didn't have to pay tax in Mitzrayim? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetzi explains that was Yosef HaTzadik's genius. He knew that Klal Yisrael would have to work. So he wanted to institute a law that the priests of every nation are not subject to the rules of the nation. They don't have to pay tax, so that Shevet Levi one day will not have to work when eventually Klal Yisrael are involved in the Shevet.
Can I ask a question? Going in and out of the palace, they're not working. I understand that.
It's a question. That wasn't so much the question of Rashi. The question was how it was that they weren't in the fields. Not we're given permission to enter the palace. Rather, we don't find they're busy slaving in the field and had to come at some absurd hour and take off time from their work. The answer is that they weren't working. They weren't working. So whatever the explanation is, and later on, right at the end, we'll mention a phenomenal explanation actually from Rabbi Yitzchak Eberschitz. But for the moment, suffice to say, the Chazal tell us that Levi were not involved in the Shibud whatsoever. The rest of Klal Yisrael were, but they weren't. Now, I have a sefer at home called Yerach L'Moyadim, written by Rabbi Yeruchim Olshin, who's one of the Rosh Hashivas, current Rosh Hashivas in Lakewood, one of the four Rosh Hashivas, and he is a grandson of Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He has a number of Sforim. One of his Sforim is on Pesach. And what we're going to discuss tonight, I'm quoting almost completely from his Sefer. He has a magnificent Shir there, and I'd like to share it with you. So most of what we're going to say is really a quoting directly from his Sefer. He asks the following fascinating question. There's a medrash that says that if you look in Parshas Yisro, when Klal Yisrael were about to be makabel the Torah, it says v'chodesh ashlishi, in the third month, that's Nisan Iyar Sivan, and then it tells us the whole process of Kabbalah Satira. The pasuk before that says v'yashalach Moshe eschoisnei v'yelech lo'yarzei. Moshe Rabbeinu dispatched his father-in-law Yisro and sent him back home. And it seems to be that Yisro was not there at Kabbalah Satayra, and the Medrash picks up on this. Says the Medrash, why was Yisro sent home? Why could he not be there at Kabbalah Satayra? So the Medrash says, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Bonai, my children were Meshubodim Batit V'Levenim. They were working hard in the field with cement and bricks. Yisroi. Where was he all that time? Yoshev, V'Beisoi, Betach, V'Hashket. He was sitting secure, at ease, living the life at home in Midian. He cannot therefore take part in the Maimed of Kabbalah Satayra. That's what it says. Because Klal Yisrael were working hard, they can be there at Kabbalah Satayra. But Yisrael wasn't. Because whilst they were working, he was at home, living it up. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu sent him packing before Kabbalah Satayra. Now, why is that dependent? Why must you be working hard in the fields in order to be zecher to Kabbalah Satayra? So he quotes there the name of Rav Aaron Kotler, his grandfather, who says an interesting explanation which itself needs further thought, but that's not so much our discussion. So he says, because we all know, Chazal tell us that there are three tremendous gifts that we've been zoicha to: Eretz Yisrael, Torah, and Olam Haba. However, all of them can only be acquired with Yisurim. That's what the Gemara says in Brachos. All with Yisurim. It's not easy come, easy go. So Aaron Kotler suggests, very fascinatingly, and this needs explanation, but it's not really our topic, the shibud in Mitzrayim, the hard work in Mitzrayim, those were the yisurim, which were the necessary prerequisite to Makabala Torah. Even though it wasn't yisurim of learning Torah, it was yisurim of backbreaking work in the fields. But it was an absolute tnai in Kabbalah Satayra. Yisroi, therefore, was not involved in the Golos of Mitzrayim. He hasn't, therefore, undergone these Yisurim. And if he hasn't undergone these Yisurim, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu dispatched him, I'm sorry, you cannot have any part to play in Kabbalah Satayra. That, says Rav Aaron Kotler, is a pshat in the Medrash. Which of course poses the enormous question, and this is what Revulsion asks, so what about Shevet Levi? Phenomenal question. Shevet Levi were also not part of the Shibud. They also didn't endure this Yisurim. So if we accept the notion, and that's what Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, is suggesting, Pshat in the Medrash, that living through the Yisurim of Mitzrayim was a necessary tnai, a prerequisite to be Mekabel the Torah, Yisro was not part of it, so he was sent home. So why a Shevet Levi any different? That is the question that he's coming to explain, and it's an enormous question. In fact, he has two separate shiurim to address this question.
Doesn't it say the Chumash that Moshe Rabbeinu asked Yisro to accompany
them, and Yisro
said, no, I
want to go back to my own. That's it, yeah, in Parshas Baalei. But here it says, by Yishalach, he sent him off. Right, and that's what the Medrash is pointing on this pasuk. And the Medrash says that it wasn't so much that he didn't want to stay, but he was sent off. And so we're coming to explain this Medrash. So this is the question that therefore we are trying to answer, as posed by Rav Olshin. How were Levi allowed to play any part in Kabbalah Satayra? L'chayr, there's no difference between them and Yisroi. Just like Yisroi didn't endure the Shibud, neither did they. Now, why are we discussing this in Parshas Vayera? The answer is because there is an incredible shlom. We actually discussed this shlom many, many, many years ago. Rav Olshin quotes this shlom. The shlom HaKadosh and Parshas Vayera picks up on one word. We can read these psukim and we can easily miss it, but the shlom Baruch Hashem doesn't. If you have a chumash in front of you, it's Perek Vav Pasuk Yud Dalet. Perek Vav Pasuk Yud Dalet. And it says as follows: Eile Roshe Beis Avoisam. The Torah now is going to list out for us all of the descendants of Yaakov Avinu until you get to Moshe Rabbeinu. And it starts as follows: Bnei Ruvain. The children of Ruvain are Chanoich, Falui, Chetzri, Karmi, etc. Okay, next pasuk. Bnei Shimon, the children of Shimon are Yemuel, the Yomin, etc. In the next pasuk, you'd expect it to say Ubnei Levi. It doesn't say that. It says Ve'ela Shmais Bnei Levi. These are the names of the children of Levi. Who are they? Gershon, Kahos, and Merari. So the Shra is bothered by this extra word. Bnei Ruvain, Bnei Shimon, you'd expect it to say Bnei Levi. It doesn't. It says these are the Shemois of the Bnei Levi. The names of the Bnei Levi. So the Shra says a phenomenal pshat, and really Rav Olshin's whole maimah there is really based on this Shra. The Shra says Shevet Levi Loi Hoyu Begolus. As we just mentioned, they were not involved in the Golos in any which way. Levi, as it were, the founding father of Shevet Levi, Yoda Dovor Zeh, he knew this. He knew this, Baruch HaKodesh apparently, Levi, the son of Yaakov, that his descendants, Shevet Levi, will play no part in the Shivas. V'rotzo lehishtatev b'tzoras hatzibur. He wanted to participate in the pain of their brethren, Klal Yisrael. You know what they did? Ma'asa. So what did Levi do? He called all of his three children, his three sons. How did he name them? Every single name relates to the Shibud. Gershon, Kahos, Merari. Do you know what Gershon means? Gershon, Gerim, exiled. That's referring to the Shibud. Kahos, like we say in Seder, like Hakei Hishinov, his teeth are ground. Klal Yisrael's teeth were ground in the Shibud. Merari is, of course, the easy one from the word Moroi, bitter, by Yemoraru es Chayehim. Why did he call all his children Kahos, Gershon, and Merari? Because he wanted to be Mishtatef in the Tzar of the Tzibur. He wanted to be Mishtatef in the Tzar of the Tzibur. Says the Shlo, that's why it doesn't just say these are the Bnei Levi, rather it says these are the names of Bnei Levi, because there's extra special significance in the names of Bnei Levi. With regard to the Bnei Ruvain, Bnei Shimon, so we're just given a comprehensive list. But with regard to the Bnei Levi, there's an extra emphasis on their names, not just on the people. There was extra special names. What was special about them? That all their names denoted the fact that Levi wanted to be Mishtatef in the Tzorah of Klal Yisrael. In fact, we can continue the theme. Because Amram, who is from Shevet Levi, what did he name his children? Well, Moshe Rabbeinu he didn't name. Bastion named him. So who's left? Aaron and Miriam. The Medrash says, do you know why he called his daughter Miriam? Again, from the word Moro. Why did he call his son Aharoin? Aharoin from the word Heroyon. Heroyon is pregnancy. When his mother, Yecheved, was pregnant, that's when the Shibud in Mitzrayim began. So Amram is continuing the legacy of his ancestor Levi by naming all his children after the Shibud. Although we're not physically involved, but we're very much with them. And this, of course, continues now to the next generation, to Moshe Rabbeinu. We all know the famous Rashi in last week's parasha, when it says, Vayar b'sivloisam, literally translated, and Moshe Rabbeinu saw their suffering. What does Rashi say there? It's not just he saw it. Nosan einov v'liboy. Liyos meitzer aleim. He suffered with them. He didn't just stare, spectacle from the outset to have a look what it looks like. Rather, Nosan Einov V'Liboy. He shared with their pain. In fact, there's a Medrash that says, Medrash in Shmois Rabbah, that on the first day he went with and he put some bricks on his shoulders as well. He also, as it were, got involved in the work. And Rabbi Yerucham explains, why did he do that? To help them out. They should finish the work day early? No. Not to assist them. To share in their pain. To share in their pain. To share in their pain. Moshe Rabbeinu in turn, do you know where he learned this from? From HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Because in last week's parasha, in Perek, Gimel, Pasuk, Beis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe Rabbeinu for the very first time. Where does he appear to him? In the burning bush. The bush is a snare, not any old bush. Why that bush of all choices, says Rashi? V'loi ilon acher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't appear to him in any other tree. Do you know why? Mishum, three words. Imoi, onoichi, b'tzoro. Kaviyochol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm sharing their pain. So I'm not appearing in a nice, beautiful, lovely tree. No, in a prickly thorn bush, as it were. I can feel all the pain of Klal Yisrael. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's first ever appearance to Moshe Rabbeinu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself relays to Moshe Rabbeinu, I feel that pain. Moshe Rabbeinu in turn, Vayar B'Siv Loisom, I feel Klal Yisrael's pain. I want to put the bricks on my shoulder as well. All my siblings, all my ancestors, they're all called names that pertain to the Shibud of Klal Yisrael. Why? Because we want to be Meshpatek in the Tzora of the Tzibur. I once saw, Revolution doesn't quote this, an incredible Chassam Sofer, unbelievable Chassam Sofer. Avraham Avinu is visited by three malachim. Why three? Why can't one malach do all the work? Says Rashi, because each malach has a special designated task, which is miyuchad for him. So why do you have three? Because one had to issue a refuah for Avraham Avinu. One had to tell them the good news about Sarah Imenu. And one went eventually and turned over Sodom. Three jobs, three malachim. Says Rashi, the one who healed Avram, he went and he saved Lot. The obvious question is, so he's doing two jobs then. Why is he doing two jobs? Nobody else is doing one. So Tosfos asks this kasha and he says, refuah v'hatzala is all one thing. So the simple pshat is, what does that mean? Saving people, healing people, that's not called two different jobs. That's basically two of a kind. That's all one job. You know what the Chassam Sofer says? Listen to this Chassam Sofer. It's worth hearing. He says, you know what it means? Avraham Avinu is suffering immense pains on the third day of Bris Milah, the age of 99. The Malach is sent to heal him. He's beginning to feel better. Avraham Avinu's sensitivity to Lot was such that if Lot would have eventually perished in Sodom, then all of his refuah would have been unraveled. He would have felt such pain over the suffering of Lot that his whole refuah would have been worthless. That's what it means. Refuah v'hatzala is all one thing. It doesn't mean healing people and saving people is all one inyan. It means the saving of Lot was part and parcel of the refuah of Avram. Because Avram Avinu would have felt such pain had Lot died in Sodom, that all the pain of the Bris Milah would have come back. That's called Imoy Anoichi B'Tzara. Imoy Anoichi B'Tzara. That's the pshat of the Chassam Sofer. Now he quotes there, in fact, Rev Olshin. He says, there was a story with one of the Hasidic Rebbes, the Horny Stipel Rebbe. The Horny Stipel Rebbe had to undergo a very serious operation. And he requested that this operation should be performed with no anesthesia whatsoever. We've all heard stories of various kinds. It takes Gedolei Yisrael to be able to do this, and each one with their explanation. And he passed through the operation, no problem whatsoever. And they asked him afterwards, how did you do that? How were you able to endure such immense pain, terrible suffering, and you didn't wince at all? So he said, I'm used to it already. You've undergone operations before? He says, no, never. He says, all day long, people come to me and they pour out their hearts. Each one with their issues. And he's got problems in health, and he has problems in Shalom Bayis, and he has problems in Parnassa, and he has problems with children, and he has problems with Gashmias, and every single person, rather than just listening to them and issuing an Eitzah, I feel their pain. and I literally feel as if I'm suffering that same nisoyim as well. To the extent, said the Rebbe, that basically, been there, done it. I've endured every pain you can imagine in this world. Because all the tens and hundreds and thousands of people who share their pain with me, I feel it. Not, I feel so sorry for you, I empathize with you. No, I literally feel and endure your pain. So to go to this operation, been there, done it. I felt that as well. I'm used to it already. It's an incredible madrega. It's an incredible madrega. But you see from the story that it's literal. It's not just a slogan or a nice soundbite. He actually went through the operation and managed. So he literally felt the tzara of others, and that's why he was used to it. Says Rav Olshin, in which case we have an unbelievable answer to a wonderful question. What was the question we began with? If Yisroi didn't undergo the shibud, and he wasn't therefore allowed to take part in Matan Torah, so why are Levi any better? Levi also took no part in the Shibud. But according to what I've just explained, based on the Shlah, the answer is, they did. They were Mishtatif in the Shibud. Literally. All the fact that they named the Eile Shemois B'nei Levi wasn't just, you know, I'll do my bit. Gershon Kos Merari, and I'll tap tap and I'll turn on to the next page of the newspaper. They literally, pshutoi kemashmoi, felt the tzara of Klal Yisrael. They felt the tzara of Klal Yisrael. That's what it says. Moshe Rabbeinu noisen einov v'liboi liyos meitzar. What does that mean, liyos meitzar? He felt the tzara. He felt the shibud. So therefore, if we ask the question, how can Levi partake? How can they participate in the maimud of Kabbalah Satorah? They didn't endure the shibud. We're not so much answering the question, we're rather saying the question is a mistake. They did endure the Shibud. Yisroi, however, didn't. What was the Lashon of the Medrash we quoted before? Yisroi sat at home, the Betach, Ubahashket, he was sitting comfortable. No criticism. The Seder, he wasn't Mukhayyab to Mishtatif in Netzorah. But ultimately, you didn't undergo, you didn't have to endure the Yisurim that apparently is a necessary prerequisite for Kabbalah Satira, you can't participate. But Levi also weren't involved in the Shibud, but they were Mishtatif in the Tzorah. And if they were Mishtatif in the Tzorah, didn't just empathize or sympathize, they literally underwent the same Tzorah, like this Rebbe said, I feel the Tzorah of all those who pour their hearts out to me. So Levi did endure the Yisurim, and that's why they could participate in Kabbalah Satira.
Is that
apparently, yes. I see from this story, the Rebbe. I see from the story from the Rebbe, like I said, it literally, he felt their pain such that he was able to undergo the operation with no problems. With Avram Alight. If Light being killed, had he been killed when Sodom was turned over, then Avram would have felt that to the extent, so the Chassam Sofer, the whole Rafah would have been unraveled. Now listen to the way the Olshin finishes off. Absolutely mind-blowing.
So how about your proposed Shibud?
Rav Yonason Eberschitz has a sefer called Tiferes Yonason. And he says the following, big chiddush. Shevet Levi, as we mentioned, were not involved in the Shibud. Why not? So he mentioned various explanations how it was that they managed to get out of it. Says Rav Yonason Eberschitz the following. Paroi deliberately ensured the lady wouldn't work. Why? Why would he want them not to work? She says as follows. Paroi knew, his astrologers told him, that the savior of Klal Yisrael would come from which Shevet? Shevet Levi. And they were spot on, Moshe Rabbeinu. So Paroi says to himself, I'm 100% convinced Mi she'enoi b'tzara, whoever doesn't undergo the tzara themselves, eino yochel lohoshia, he can't be the savior of Klal Yisrael. So he came up with his genius plan. What was his genius plan? One and one is two. If the astrologers tell me that what? That the savior of Klal Yisrael is going to come from Shevet Levi, I've got this assumption that whoever hasn't undergone the tzara themselves can't be the savior. So I've got this brilliant plan. Let Shevet Levi not work, they won't therefore undergo the tzaras of Klal Yisrael, and therefore there can't be a Moshiach of Klal Yisrael. Brilliant plan. Wonderful. So he's the one who gave Shevet Levi off, deliberately. So the obvious $64 million question is, it's a brilliant equation, so why was he wrong? Says revulsion, it's unbelievable. You know why he was wrong? Because Moshe Rabbeinu and Shevet Levi did undergo the Shibbutz. His whole presumption was wrong. Not his mathematics. It's true. Anybody who doesn't undergo the Shibbutz can't genuinely be involved and therefore can't save Klal Yisrael. So he gave Shevet Levi off. What was his big mistake? He didn't realize what Shevet Levi was all about. He didn't know the Shloach HaKadosh. He didn't realize that they gave names to Klal Yisrael. Gershon, Kahos, Merari, Aroi, Miriam, Noisen, Einov, and Libo. He didn't know all of that. That was his mistake. Therefore, he didn't realize that Shevet Levi were involved in the Shibbutz. It's true. Not in a physical way. But in a way that was so literal that they literally felt the pain of Klal Yisrael. So Paro's assumption was 1,000% correct. Whoever wasn't involved in the Shibbutz can't save Klal Yisrael. Where was his mistake? Not there. His mistake was in thinking, give Levi the day off and they won't have any part to play in the Shibbutz. That's where your mistake is. And do you know why he made that mistake? Because a goy can never relate to this. A goy can never ever relate to this. And this reminds us of the famous story of the Meir Shapiro. We've mentioned this in the past. It was the famous blood libel, the Bayless trial. And Rav Meir Shapiro was there in court defending Klal Yisrael. And the judge obviously had done his homework, but he was no match for Rav Meir Shapiro. And the judge said to him, I accuse you, Klal Yisrael, of killing this Christian child, the age-old accusation. You need their blood for the matzahs. So Rav Meir Shapiro said, nothing more absurd. Absolutely ludicrous, could never be. We would never kill a non-Jewish child. So the judge had done his homework, and the judge says, what do you mean? There's a Mefurash of Gemara, and he's right. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia that when the Torah says the word Adam, who's that referring to? Only a Jew. Atem Kriyim Adam. But Goyim are not called Adam. So the judge says, there you have it. Your rabbis have told you that you don't even relate to us as human beings, Bichlal. So why is it so ludicrous? I mean, you kill animals, so why would you not kill a Christian? But Meir Shapiro was unfazed, and he says, you learned wrong Pshat in the Gemara. I'll tell you Pshat in the Gemara. What's the Hebrew word, for example, for a man? Ish. And what's the plural? Anoshim. There's another word, Gever. What's the plural? Gevorim. There's another word for man, or human, Adam. What's the plural? There is no plural for Adam. Don't say Adamim, there's no such word. You know why, says Rav Meir Shapiro? Because it's only Klal Yisrael who can be described in the singular. They might have 600,000 people in their nation, but it's like one Adam, they're one goof. That's what Chazal meant. When they said that Goyim are not considered Adam, they didn't mean they're not human beings. They are human beings. You cannot describe the relationship between Goyim as Adam in the singular. There's me, there's you, there's him, there's somebody else. What do you do when you're reading your newspaper and you read about the mud landslide in Botswana? You tap-tap, you have another bite of your fried egg, and you turn over the page and you carry on your breakfast. And what does Klal Yisrael do? When you hear there's a tzara of a Jew at the other end of the planet, you'll never know and you never meet and you never will know, you feel that pain because you're Adam. Imagine somebody's leg is in pain. What are you going to say? Well, I'm feeling fine, just my leg hurts. I mean, that's me. It's one Adam, it's one goof. Said Rav Meir Shapiro, not chas v'shalom that we relate to goyim as non-human beings. That's not what it means that you're not an Adam. It means that your relationship is not that of Adam in the singular. You're a bunch of individuals. We as Klal Yisrael are Adam. We feel each other's pain. In 1979, famous story of a hijacked plane. And Rav Yitzchak Huttner was on that plane. And he was released early before others were. And he was sent back to America. And you can imagine there was a tremendous simcha in Klal Yisrael, one of the G'dayli Yisrael, who was literally at death's door, and he was released. And they were planning to make a whole lavish reception for him at the airport to greet him off the plane. Baruch Hashem, major simcha for Klal Yisrael. Rav Moshe Feinstein at the time sent a message and said, you can make a Kabbalah spani, but there should be no music there. There should be no music. Why not? He said, let's not forget, there's plenty of people still on that plane. And all the families who are waiting with bated breath to see what's happening to their loved ones, it would be insensitive to them to have a whole festive musical party at the airport. There's a tremendous simcha, there's no doubt about it. One of the G'dayli Yisrael was saved. But we have to feel the pain of those families whose relatives haven't yet been saved. And this, of course, was the most famous Musa Shmuz, well known, well documented, when the Entebbe raid. So we, Baruch Hashem, know the outcome, but they didn't at the time. And the Mir Yeshiva made a huge Atzeres Tfilah. And it is well known, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, just before they began davening, got up in front of the Aron HaKodesh, and they thought you'd give a whole inspirational drasha. He didn't. He said one sentence. He said, Moirai v'Raboisai, we're about to daven now for those sitting on that plane. Every person in this Beis HaMedrash has to feel as if their own son or daughter, their own brother or sister are sitting on that plane. And with that, he got down from Aron HaKodesh and they davened. And there's a written up documentary about it. You can imagine the impact that made. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz literally felt it. He literally felt it. He literally felt it. My Rebbe, Rebbe Fol Shmulevitz, once told me, and as he told it to me, he himself burst into tears. He told me about his father, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. There was a certain story that I heard. I was once in Manchester, and somebody came up to me, and Shalom Aleichem, where are you from, the Mir, where are you learning? Learning the Mir, Reb Fol Shmulevitz. He says, oh, I learned by Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, I'll tell you a story. Okay? So he said to me, everybody knows that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz gave this famous Musa Shmuz before the Entebbe raid. You've got to literally feel that it's your brother, your sister. Everybody knows that bit. But he said, nobody knows the end of the story except for me. So what's the end of the story? He says, the next day, after the news came through that Baruch Hashem, the raid had been successful, he said, I was walking in the Mir, I was a bachur at the time, Reb Shlomo Angel from Manchester, and he told me that he was walking in the corridor of the Mir, and he sees Rebbetzin Shmulevitz, that's Reb Chaim Shmulevitz's wife. She was talking to her daughter. Her daughter, Rebbetzin Partzovitz, Reb Nochum Partzovitz's Rebbetzin. And she says to her daughter, ah, Baruch Hashem, there's a simcha in the family. My son, our son, your brother, Reb Avrom Shmulevitz, this morning had a baby. Ah, Baruch Hashem, Mazel Tov. The angel tells me, he said, Rebbetzin Partzovitz said to her mother, nu, umvozok de tata. What does our father say? Baruch Hashem, good news. Mekenish Rebbin de tata. We can't speak to him at the moment. So why can't you speak to him? He's so ecstatic about the raid in Entebbe, he said, I tried telling him, I couldn't get through to him. I couldn't talk to him. He's on cloud nine. I can't talk to him. He feels that his own mishpacha was saved. I once was at a chasna and I saw Reb Avrom Shmulevitz. He doesn't know who I am. I said, I have a very strange question to ask you, if you don't mind. Yes, I have a kasha in learning. I said, did you have a baby the day after the Entebbe raid? He looks at me and he says, yes. Why are you asking? I said, I heard the whole story. He said, ah, yes, he said, it was a complicated birth. There were issues and there was a whole nest. Baruch Hashem, the baby was delivered safely. I went to tell my father, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Baruch Hashem, there was a nest. And my father said, yeah, Baruch Hashem, the nest, Baruch Hashem, and Teb. He said, no, the nest. He said, I couldn't get through to him. I couldn't talk to my father. He was so ecstatic, he felt that 200 odd members of his family were saved. I couldn't talk to him. I came back to Eretz Yisrael, and I went to my Rebbe, Reb Fol Shmulevitz, and I said, you know, I heard this whole story about your father, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. So he was a very emotional person before. He burst into tears, and he said to me, he said, I don't know, I wasn't there. He said, you can ask my brother, I don't know. But he said, the story sounds right. He said, a lot of people come to me, I had this story, and I had that story, and I know most of them are not true. He said, this story sounds right, that's my father. And he says, somebody told him, that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz used to give a Chumash Rashi Shir, a Parsha Shir, half an hour Parsha Shir every Erev Shabbos. So on one occasion, this person told him before, he came to the Shir, and Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was very punctual, very, very yakish. Came late to the Shir, which is very, very unusual. Came to the Shir, opened the Chumash, and burst out crying. Cried, till 1 o'clock, the Shir was 12:30 to 1, half an hour crying, closed the Chumash and left. That was that week's Shir. Nobody understood what happened. Upon investigation, it turned out that just before the Shir, somebody told him terrible news. There was a car accident on Kvish Echad, and a couple were killed. A couple that Reb Chaim never knew, never would know. He felt that sorry. He wasn't able to deliver the Shir. Reb Paul, as he was telling me the story, was in tears himself. He says, therefore, this Entebbe story you're telling me makes perfect sense. That was my father. That was my father. So, this is the Derech of Gedolei Yisrael. When the Chofetz Chaim heard that there were those in Europe who were running refugees, escaping the hands of the communists, he didn't sleep in his bed at night. And he said, how can I sleep in my bed when I know there are other Jews who don't have a roof over their head? That's the mishtatif in the tzara of Klal Yisrael. That is the way of all Gedolei Yisrael. That is the way of all Gedolei Yisrael. And that's what Shevet Levi was all about. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was about. And he learned it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Imo Yonoichi B'tzara. And that's what Avraham Avinu was about. And that's where Pare made his big mistake. Levi weren't involved in the Shibud. They absolutely were involved in the Shibud, albeit not in a physical way. But they were mishtatef in the tzara such that they literally felt the pain of Achenu Beis Yisrael. Just like that Rebbe who said, I can undergo the operation. I felt this tzara before. Been there, done it. That is the way of Gedolei Yisrael. So that was Parah's mistake. Firstly, that's why Levi were able to be mishtatef in Kabbalah Satorah, not like Yisroi. Yisroi was living home, he was fine and comfortable. You can't take part in the mind of Kabbalah Satorah. But Shevet Levi can. And that's what Pare's big mistake. Pare thought, here's my genius plan. Make sure Levi don't work. If they won't feel the Tzara of Klal Yisrael, there can be no savior of Klal Yisrael. Your mathematics is right, but in practice you're wrong. Because Moshe Rabbeinu and Shevet Levi were mishtatefin the Tzar of Klal Yisrael, because that's Odom. Pare didn't understand that, because a goy is not able to understand that. As Rameir Shapiro taught us, a goy's relationship with his fellow goy is not that of Odom. It's somebody else. I might empathize, I might sympathize, I'll say, what a shame, but I don't feel that sorrow. Levi were mishtatefin the Tzar, that's what it means, says the Shloah, Eile Shemais B'nei Levi. The names of B'nai Levi, they themselves show us the extent to which Levi felt the pain of Klal Yisrael, so that they could say that we too underwent the whole Shibud, just like the rest of Klal Yisrael.